You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
If we can't use hateful and oppressive words, what happens to our stories of being called those words? The answer to this question is Nigger Fag, a quietly explosive one-man show. The play is written and performed by Baron McKenzie and tells the story of his lifelong collision with homophobia and racism. Nigger Fag had its premiere at the Edmonton Fringe Festival in 2008, and since then the play has had several successful runs in Vancouver and in Halifax. Then the actor was approached by the Vancouver School Board, and for the last year and a half he's been performing the play in schools both in Vancouver and in Surrey. Red Eye Collective member Maria Perstrother interviewed Baron McKenzie a couple of weeks ago at his kitchen table, and we apologize for any background noise as a result of that. Maria began by asking him how the play got its title.
I chose the title because we were being told at some point through the media that we weren't really allowed to use the words, that we shouldn't use the words, and that the words should be banned. And at one point, I really agreed with that. And then I talked myself around and I thought, well, if I can't use those words again or ever, then what does that mean to what happens with my story and what happens with the story of friends who have been, you know, bullied and called those names? And, you know, Aaron Webster, what happens to his story if we can't ever use the word fag or faggot? And then I thought about slavery and about, you know, what do we do if we can't use those words? So I kind of talked myself out of it, and in a long conversation with one of my good friends, and at the end of the conversation, he said, that's the name of your next play, you got to write it, a show called Nigger Fag. And so I was completely overwhelmed with the idea of writing it. I didn't really know how I felt about the words. I never used them. I use the word faggot once in a while, you know, you big fag, or not necessarily faggot, but I do use the word fag. We've managed to take that word and twist it and make it our own, right? But it's what I've realized in writing the show and performing it is that it's the intention behind the words that are the real harmful part of them. The words themselves aren't the problem, it's the people using the words and why they're using them.
Do you want to tell me a bit more about that?
Well, I mean, I keep coming back to when Aaron Webster was murdered in Stanley Park, and that they were calling him a faggot while he was being beaten to death. And there was a black man in the States who was dragged behind a car until he was decapitated. And I just hear that that's what's behind the words. That's the aggression and the anger. And I think what this show has done is it's allowed people who would never, ever even say the word nigger or the word fag, use it in a way that is safe, and it is causing dialogue, and it's causing people to discuss how they feel about the words and where we go from here with them. Because we can't ban words. You can't ban language. Language is what is rich, and it's exciting, and it makes us, it allows us to do so much. And if we start censoring and saying no, it's wrong, and no, it's bad, without really understanding how we feel about them, then, you know, I think that's a detriment to our society.
Can you tell me a bit about the play itself? How is it structured?
It's a one-man show, and I play all the characters. It is four vignettes. One is a disastrous first love. I was in love with a girl in my class, and I thought that she was going to be the one that would make me straight. So in my warped 16-year-old mind, I decided to get her attention. I would start dressing like her. I got a mohawk. It was Michael Jackson was big at the time, and I got a Michael Jackson Thriller jacket, and I wore eyeliner because she wore eyeliner and she had a mohawk, and so I invited her to a party, and I got dumped. The next story is called Oh Brother, and it is when I moved to Vancouver. It was my first audition that I got, and it was for a rapper. That was completely not my character, not my type. I didn't suit the role at all, and I actually went into the audition looking like an absolute fool, and I didn't get the part. The next story is called Father by the Way, and it is deals with conversations I've had with my birth father, because I'm adopted. I was adopted into a white family, and or a mainly white family. I had it was mixed, but my parents were white. And in a lot of the small towns that I lived in, I was the only black child. My dad was an RCMP officer, so we moved around a lot. And I finally got the courage to find out where I come from. And in my adoption papers, my birth father's name was in the adoption papers. Where he went to university, he's an actor, and it was... The scene is a culmination of about four or five conversations that we had. And he didn't know I was alive, and we ended up having quite a few good, you know, decent talks that were awkward and jolted, and I was nervous. And then I told him that I was gay, and that was pretty much the end of our communication. Then the next last story is the really high emotional point of the piece, and it's called Tassels. And in it, I'm a 7.5-year-old boy, and I am love skipping, and Buddy, my character, loves skipping, and he gets dared to skip on the playground. And this is right around the time that Roots came out. And Roots is the groundbreaking miniseries about slavery in America. And it was groundbreaking. My dad and I sat me down, and because he didn't really know how to, he was white. He didn't know how to teach me culture. He didn't even know really what my background was. He knew that Roots was going to be, you know, important. So we watched all the episodes together. And one day on the playground, I got challenged to a skipping contest with the girls and started skipping with them. And a bully on the playground grabbed the skipping rope and then used it against me and tried to mimic or reenact what was happening on the miniseries. And he called me nigger, and he called me Kunta Kinte, which is the black slave's name, and he called me the female slave's name, Kizzy, and Chicken George. And this actually went on for weeks while the miniseries was aired. And then it has a nice little twist at the end.
So you've been performing this play for over a year now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, almost 2 years. We went to, opened in the Edmonton Fringe, and then came to Vancouver, and then the Arts Club picked us up after the Fringe here. It was sold out here, sold out in Edmonton. Then we did a run at the Fire Hall. That was a month after the Fringe had ended. It was a really difficult run because anybody that was going to see the play saw the play. The Fire Hall, the Vancouver School Board came to the show, and Steve Mulligan, the anti-homophobia consultant at the school board, liked it, and we set up a meeting, and we sat down, and he said, you know, we'd like to put this in schools. And I was expecting, people kept telling me, you're going to have to change the title. If you're going to do it in schools, the title is going to have to change. So I waited till the end of the meeting to talk about the name change and what we could possibly call this show that has lived as Niggerfag for, you know, by that time about 6 months. And I asked him, and Steve said, I don't want to change the title. The title, the play is the play because of the title and because of the stories that you have.
So what was it like the first time you performed the play in front of a high school audience?
It was terrifying because I never thought I'd ever go back into a school. When I was when I left school, I had been told I was going into school after a party I got really drunk at and made a real fool out of myself and came on to or got made out with a guy at this party in front of everybody in the school. Anybody that was there. And the next day or the next Monday, I went in to go into school and the student union president stopped me before I went in and said, you can't go in. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, you can't go in. We've had a meeting. And I said, who's had a meeting? And he said, the student council has had a meeting and we've decided that you can't come into school. And if you do go into school today, we can't guarantee your safety. So I didn't go back in. And that was the end of my school. And I thought I would never, ever go back into it. And even just walking into it, my first school was U Hill. And it was for a fair festival that they were having. They were having a bunch of 15 or 20 different acts and dancers and people, almost a career day. And I was the last. And there were about 400 kids, students, and I was really scared. I was really scared because not only are you scared for the reaction from the students, but you're also, I was also very aware of my nerves. It was a performance that I'll never forget because the students were completely enthralled. For 50 minutes, they were bolt up in their seats. There was something for them to laugh at. There was something for them to cry about and for, and somebody to feel for. And the question and answer period after was really, really liberating. I do a fairly decent talk back after, a good debrief about the words and, you know, really making it clear that, you know, that just because I'm using these words now and we may be using them in context now doesn't mean that you go out and start calling each other nigger and fag. And the questions were, students are so smart. That's what I remember when I was a kid. I used to look at adults and say, I'm smart. I know things. I know you. The way you're treating me is not right. I know. And I would be told I didn't know. So then I would second guess myself. And it really has been an amazing experience going into schools. I never thought I'd be doing this.
I want to ask a few more questions about your performances in high schools. The Surrey School Board has a history of homophobia. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on that? Like, what was your first reaction when they approached you about this?
I was terrified. I was terrified because Surrey has a bad rap. It has a bad rap, and maybe for many years it lived up to that reputation. What I found at the two high schools that I went to were the biggest gay straight alliances that I've seen in any high school. 15, 20, 30 people within the groups. The students walked me around and showed me things as if, you know, like it was their own home, and they were really excited about it. The questions were poignant. We did Tassel's The Last Story, and then we did like a social justice class, and I broke them up into groups. After I was done, there was the teachers asked for feedback on what the students experienced, and the comments were, I think that this could revolutionize schools. And the students made a commitment to stop homophobia and bullying in their hallways. Vancouver, Surrey, they're leading the way. They really are. They're leading the way in North America, I think, because I don't think there's any other school board anywhere that is presenting a show for students called Niggerfag. And what's great is I performed at the downtown school at Lord Roberts or King George down here. At the end of it, the youngest girl in this grade 6-7 class put her hand up, and she was blonde, pretty, green eyes, just really sweet. And in front of 300, you know, strangers from a high school, she said, "So I was just wondering, how does the word nigger affect you now?" And it took my breath away, and I got shivers, because I just wondered, when will she ever use this word again in this context? It shows that the words can be used and talked about. They don't have to be hidden and forgotten about, because the more we try to pretend that they don't exist, the stronger they get, the more power they have. And I don't like the word nigger. It's taken me a long time just to get the title out of my mouth. This show's forced me to really examine how I feel about the words, and it's made me confront my own internal homophobia and my own internal racism. I used to think that black people smelled. I don't know where I got that from. I used to cringe anytime I saw, for sure, if I saw gay people kissing on screen, I would cringe. I also would have the same reaction if I saw black people kissing. Because at one point, no black people kissed. They weren't even, you know, it's times have changed, and who knew that I'd live, I didn't know that I would live this long. And I didn't know that I would live in a time when I really believe that youth are what's going to change. We're at the very end where there's a divide with the old and the new. And this new crop of young, educated, tech-savvy, opinionated youth are going to be the leaders that show us the way in the future. And I'm really excited about that, because they really are saying homophobia and bullying and racism, they've got to stop.
And that was Vancouver-based playwright and actor Baron McKenzie, who's in conversation with Maria Perstetter. Baron's production company is called Small Brown Package Productions, and their website is smallbrownpackage.com. Before moving on, we want to take a moment to acknowledge the life and work of Dennis Simpson. Dennis Simpson was director for Niggerfag, and he passed away earlier this fall.